Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Are you facing circumstances and questions that are simply overwhelming to your very soul? Well, friend, when you turn your eyes from those circumstances to Jesus Christ, the perspective changes dramatically. Stay with us next on Daily in the Word as we consider Christ with Pastor Paul Chappell. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I don't know how this broadcast comes to you in terms of what circumstances or what questions you may be facing. Perhaps you're facing despair or sorrow. Perhaps you're facing tragedy or overwhelming situations. Perhaps you're looking at a wall of questions and you don't know how you're going to get through or how will you make it another day. Well, friend, today we want you to consider Jesus Christ, because He is not only the answer to your soul's deepest questions, He is the only one who will sustain you and strengthen you by His grace through whatever you're facing today. And so, in the next few moments and for the next few broadcasts, we will consider Christ. Be sure to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a wealth of resources at our website that will encourage you in your spiritual growth and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to consider the seed, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Here's Paul Chappell.
And we are seeing a lack in the crop of righteous living in America because there is a lack of sowing the seed in America. I was speaking to a Christian businessman not long ago, and he's a fine man, and he gives charitably to organizations that are good and somewhat Christian. But these organizations are not remotely attached to the seed sowing of which I speak this morning. I was challenging him towards the need of West Coast Baptist College and sharing with him that we are sending hundreds of young people around the world to do one single thing, and that is to sow the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the number one priority of the local church, and it is life-giving seed that we are sharing. It is not dead, but it is powerful, and it is life-changing. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I thank God for the hundreds, yea, the thousands of lives that we have seen changed through the gospel of Jesus Christ in these 22 years. It is a life-giving seed. But notice secondly, it is a life-changing seed. This seed that Jesus spread, this seed that must be spread again in our great land, will change lives. Notice, if you would, in verse 8. "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Notice in verse 23. "But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and also beareth fruit." Now, my friend, when someone is saved through the seed, when they are born again through the seed of the word of God, and remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when someone is saved, now they can produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened in Timothy's life. Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. He said this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness." God's word brings about a great change in the life of men. Now, why the emphasis on the seed this morning? Listen carefully. Because religion oftentimes, and yes, in America today, religion generally is not emphasizing the seed like it once did. America's early days were filled, and our writings replete with references to God in the scriptures, because it was the primary text in the schoolhouse and in the church house, of course, the teaching of the Word of God. USA Today had an article that I'll speak more about tonight in the message on the old paths. But I read this past week. The article said, Americans happy with many paths, pluralism. That's the age in which we live. And they said in this particular article, religion now in America has a new anthem. No longer do people sing, give me that old time religion. What they're singing is, don't fence me in. And the survey, which was conducted by the Pew Research Corporation, said that in the United States, adults range far from knowing or caring about the distinctive teachings of their professed faith. You no longer have an alignment of affiliation, belief, and behavior. The chief correspondents and reporters in this particular survey, Pew survey, said, and I quote, "You have to wonder, how do you guarantee the integrity of religious tradition when so many people are coming and going and their ideas do not match up?" Frank Page of Taylor, South Carolina said, "I'm a pastor in the real world. I see this every day. People coming and going from faith to faith, from belief to belief." Page is the immediate past president of the Southern Baptist Convention, the nation's largest Protestant denomination. He said concerning their growth statistics, they are pitiful. By the way, that's true along many different lines in the day in which we live. Page said, and I quote, "The gospel was once clearly preached in virtually every Protestant church. It is now rarely heard in the 21st century. The number who teach a clear doctrinal Christianity are in the minority today. How would people know how to be saved if they have never heard how to be saved?" And that's from the president of a large conservative denomination in America. Michael Lindsay of Rice University added, "Americans believe in everything. It's a spiritual salad bar." Now listen carefully. There is a difference between knowing about general spirituality. There is a difference between pluralism and giving assent to all teachings and coming back to the basic of the seed of the Word of God and saying, "I believe the Bible, God's Word, is the infallible, inerrant Word of God." And yet Americans are more and more open towards Eastern religion, Eastern mysticism, and all various different faith styles. And we're seeing the reflection of this turning away from the Bible in our society today. The article went on. Rather than religious leaders setting the cultural agenda today, it's Oprah Winfrey. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, the National Memorial Service was conducted in Washington's National Cathedral. After the 9/11 attack, Oprah Winfrey organized the official memorial service at Yankee Stadium and invited, as you know, clergy from all different realms of faith. The impact of Oprah is seen throughout the survey. She uses the language of the Bible and Christian traditions, but she includes other traditions to create, quote, a hodgepodge personalized faith. Exclusivism, the idea that one religion has absolute truth, has gotten a bad name in America today. It's no longer in vogue. It's no longer popular to be exclusively a child of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you'll find that with all this religious talk, there's very little about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the hope for heaven, the escaping of hell. Exclusive preaching like that is no longer popular. Quote, "Overall, people say they are religious, but they have no command of theology or doctrine. It is an empty religiosity." What I'm simply saying to you this morning is this. If you will open up your heart and let the seed of the Word of God come into your heart, and if you will hear the Word of God, it is a life-changing seed, the Word of God. And as you grow in the teachings of God's Word, you'll begin to see the production of fruit in your life, fruit like holiness. God will begin to bring holiness into your life through His Word. Romans 6:23. "Now being made free from sin, you have become the servants of God, and you have the fruit unto holiness." Things like Christian character. You see, God's Word develops Christian character. 1 Peter 1:22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." And how we thank God for families who still emphasize the Word and have their children in the right types of educational settings that would help them to grow in Christian character. George Washington, our first president, said, "Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." In other words, we cannot expect America to be a great nation if we're not seeing a growth spiritually, from the Word of God. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. This comes from the application of the Word of God and growth in the Spirit of God. Terry and I this past week took one morning, I said, let's go out to a park, and we took a small library with us this past week, and we grabbed some books with us, and we sat at a bench, and while we were seated there, there were some children playing not far from us, and they were playing with like a little playhouse, and the one little boy had to go. So his mom said, all right, Johnny, let's go. He took his toy, and he started following his mom, and the other boy threw a fit. You know what a fit is, don't you? It's something way beyond just crying. I mean, the blood veins were popping out, and he was saying, my toy, my toy. Now, it wasn't his toy, but he was throwing a fit about it. Well, this lady said, you know, my son needs to learn how to share. We'll stay for a few more minutes. So she turns around, and she brings her son. She says, now, you share. And of course, he didn't really want to, but his mom was telling him to. So he gave the little toy to the other boy, and the other boy just grabbed that toy and turned away like this. And his mother said, now, he's sharing with you. He's trying to be nice to you. What do you say to him? He looked at that boy and said, mine! You know, that spirit is prevalent in our country today. And it cannot be broken apart from spiritual growth through the teaching of the Word of God. Holiness, character, good works, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. All of these are the fruit of the seed of the Word of God. And we must reseed our country with the teachings of the Word of God if we are going to see revival in this land. The faithful sower is Jesus Christ, sowing the truth. And He's called us to sow the truth. And then we see not only the faithful sower, but we see the fruitful seed. And I'm so tired today of sociologists who say, the problem in the world is with religion. That's the problem in the world. My friend, nothing could be farther from the truth. You show me where this seed has been sown, and I will show you hospitals that have been built, and orphanages that have been established, and schools that have been raised up, and drug addicts that have been made whole, and prostitutes that have turned away from their life of ill repute. You show me where the Word of God has been sown. I will show you where lives have been changed. I would take you to Mexico to one of our graduates today, Brother Chase there in Mexico, establishing an orphanage for children found abandoned on the street. I would take you to the Philippines, where Brother Rick Martin, due to the typhoon that just came through, is helping now to rebuild more than 50 churches that were completely wiped out. He's running from place to place, giving money and bringing supplies to get the church houses built back up. I would take you to Papua New Guinea, where Brother and Mrs. Gary Keck are teaching people right now how to read so that then they can learn from the Bible so that they can then be saved. Don't tell me that religion is the problem in the world today. I'm saying the answer to the problem is the seed of the Word of God. It is a fruitful seed, and it still changes lives when it is preached and taught and obeyed. But notice, not only we must not only have the faithful sower and the fruitful seed, but we need the fertile soil today. And this brings it home to each and every one of us. The Word of God must find itself in fertile soil. Verse number 18, the Bible says, you hear therefore the parable of the sower. We begin to see the different kinds of soils. We see in verse number 4, there was one that sowed, and some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Here we see the first type of soil, and that is the hard soil. As Jesus sowed the seed, some of the response was very hard. The Pharisees said, "He's of the devil. You can't get any harder than that." To point to the Son of God and say, "He's of the devil." And by the way, if someone's not kind to you when you try to talk about the Lord, don't be completely shocked. They were not always kind to Him. But we see the hard soil. Notice the Bible says there in verse number 4, when He sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. In the Palestinian countryside, there were many small footpaths around the fields. The fields were kept tilled up and prepared, but the pathways were many times very hard, and sometimes the seed would fall on the pathway, and there it would have little chance of germination or ever bearing fruit. This is a picture of the hard-hearted man. Hosea says of him in chapter 10 and verse 12, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." Have you ever met someone like that? They're just hard. I thank the Lord that here in the Antelope Valley, most people are at least somewhat receptive to talk about the Lord. But I've had a few people take a seed or a gospel tract that's been given to them and just do like that. Their heart is hard. Their heart is like the dry lake bed at Edwards Air Force Base. I mean, you can throw seed out, but there's no reception there. Sometimes they scoff and they mock the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you see, the hardened soil. Many hearts in America are hard like this. But there's a second type of soil, and that is the stony soil. Verse 5 speaks of it. Some fell upon stony places. And when we look into the Palestinian countryside and we begin to do a little study about the soil there, much of it was stony. There was a foundation known as a limestone type of foundation that was very stony, and the rocks would come up many times through the soil. This speaks of a very shallow heart. This is the type of seed that might get down there into that soil, maybe a half of an inch or less, and it was filled not with soil but surrounded by the stones. Many times this person in Jesus' ministry would have had an emotional response, but not a true heart of repentance, not a true heart of faith. It was shallow. It was for the moment. They were excited about the feeding of the 5,000. They were interested in the miracles, but it was really a very shallow profession. By the way, God has called us to sow the seed. We cannot know exactly what the response will be. There will be different kinds of hearts, and sometimes people do show an initial interest, but then they fall on the wayside and never truly were born again. The Bible speaks in this parable about the sun, verse 6. The sun would come up, and it would scorch what little fragment of a plant had tried to grow. And may I say to you that there are many people who will make a profession in Jesus, but when the trials come into their life, like the sun shining on this little plant, they will be blown away. And one of the great tests of your faith is when the trials come. And one of the reasons I know that there are many wonderful Christians in this church is because I have seen you go through the trials. I've been with you in the hospitals. I've been with you in the funeral parlors. And we have seen during those times the faith of God's people stay stronger and stronger. But someone that was shallow in their profession, we've seen the opposite. We've seen them just blown away because they were never truly born again. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature, wanting nothing." You see, a mature Christian says, "Lord, I don't want this trial to be wasted. Lord, let this trial help me to grow stronger and stronger in you." And oh, today we see the stony soil many times in our nation. But notice there's a third type. It's the thorny soil. Notice in verse 7 the Bible says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Jeremiah spoke of this in Jeremiah 24:3. He said, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." We see oftentimes people who the seed is thrown towards them, or the preaching or a gospel tract, there's some interest. But then the thorns come in. What are the thorns? Notice, if you would, over in verse 22. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Now look right here. This is speaking primarily of salvation. That is, those that see the seed, but now the thorns of this world choke that seed out and they never get saved. But there's an application to those of you that are saved. And that is that while you have had life and you've been bearing some fruit, those thorns oftentimes of sin, the cares of this world, will choke us out to the point that we're not bearing fruit like we once did. And I want to encourage you to have a heart that is weed free so that you will bear fruit for Jesus Christ. When I was a young man, I used to work every summer out on the farm in Colorado. My granddad, he took great pride in having his fields would have straight rows and no weeds. And I mean to tell you what, before I ever learned how to drive a John Deere tractor, I would show up in the summer and he would give me a hoe. That was my official tool. And he would say, "I want you to take this out in the field and I want you to look for bindweed and Canadian thistle." Just to honor my granddad, I brought some Canadian thistle here this morning. He said, "Now this weed right here," he said, "I have seen it take over hundreds of acres and destroy the farms of those who did not fight it diligently." And he said the bindweed or the Canadian thistle will take the crops away and the ability for crops to grow. And he said, we've got to keep this out. He said, at harvest time, we don't want these big weeds in the combine. We want those completely out of the field. And what I want you to recognize today is that the cares of this world and the sins of this world will choke out the things of God and the fruitfulness of God's Word in your life. And that's why we need the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why we need to take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and hack those weeds off right down to the root. Boy, my granddad always said, get them at the root. I think I've pulled thousands of these weeds and thrown them off the edge of the field. Why? Because we wanted to produce fruit in the pinto bean fields of Southwest Colorado. But I'm saying this, if you want fruit in your life, you don't want to just be a part of the amalgamation of New Age religion in America, but you want the old time religion and you want the old path and the right kind of fruit, then make sure that you pluck up those sinful seeds and those things that would choke out God's righteousness from coming and working in your life. Oh, it may be a friend that pulls you down. It may be some old habit that pulls you away. Make sure you cut it at the root. And then notice, finally with me this morning, the fertile soil. The fertile soil. The Bible speaks of it in verse 8. But other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. As Jesus shared the gospel, sometimes it fell on hard ground, sometimes stony ground. Sometimes it fell into a weed patch. But when it fell into good ground, something good happened. Now, this is something all of us should be concerned about. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, oh, that you would open your heart to Him today. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, that you would keep your heart fertile and ready for the Word of God. The fertile ground represents the receptive heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain wise counsels. A wise man will hear and receive the Word of God. James 1:21 challenges us to receive with meekness the Word of God. Now think just for a moment and we'll be done. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, at that moment, you were experiencing a moment of humility and a moment of meekness. After all, you were saying, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. You're right. You're the Savior. I want you to come into my heart. That, my friend, is fertile, receptive ground when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, let's not begin our Christian life in humility and try to live our Christian life in pride. But if we started in humility before the Lord, then each and every day, let's break up the ground of our heart and say, Lord, I want to receive more. I want more of your seed. I want more of your word. I can't bear fruit on my own, but as I hear from your word, what you want me to do, Lord, help me to bear that fruit each and every day. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, would you consider today your need for his seed? And would you receive the seed of his glorious gospel today and be saved? Perhaps you're here today and you're a Christian, and you need to turn away from some of the thorns and some of the entanglements of this world, some of the old friends that'll just tear you down. Oh, I encourage you to do whatever it takes today. And finally, how many are here this morning who say, Pastor Chapel, I agree with you. America needs a reseeding of the Word of God. And somehow in these next several weeks, by the grace of God, I want to get the gospel to someone else. I want them to know more about Jesus. I want to help reseed my nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the parable of the seed and the sower. And I ask this morning, Lord, that you'd help us to apply this message to our own lives. Help us to be changed because of it, I ask.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're currently in a series entitled Consider Christ. Friend, we would invite you to consider, is Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior? If you have heard today's message and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, to place your faith in Him, I hope you will bow your head and heart wherever you may be in the privacy of this moment and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life to save you from your sin, trust Him as your Savior, and claim His gift of eternal life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We would love to hear from you if you have made that decision as a result of Daily in the Word. We'd love to get back in touch with you and help you grow in God's grace and in that relationship. You can contact us when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to the current radio series as well as the podcast. You can perhaps refer a friend or subscribe to Daily in the Word through your phone or device and take it with you. Also, you'll find links to many other resources that will help you with your spiritual growth, including a Daily in the Word subscription email that will come to your email inbox every single day with an encouragement from Pastor Chapel as well as a daily scripture reading. You'll also find links to Dr. Chapel's blog at paulchapel.com. And don't forget, we're going to Alaska and you're invited. The Alaska Cruise with Dr. Paul Chapel is August 9th through 16th, 2014. 1 week of the most beautiful environment you've ever spent time in, along with some of the most wonderful people you could meet, Christian friends from all over the country, joining us August 9th through 16th with Dr. Chapel, some great teaching and preaching throughout the week, and Christian Fellowship 2014, August 9th through 16th. You can find out more information at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.